I'm a firm believer, and I really do believe with all of my heart, that in order to do the job of a first responder, you have to love what you do. And I believe that in order to be more successful in doing it, you really have to love the people that you serve. You really have to love the community. You really have to love the idea of serving others. And that's not made for everybody. I'm just going to tell you, it's not first responders and the work that they do. It's not made for everybody. But there are those that commit and dedicate their life to serving and helping others. And it's their passion. The greatest example of how we love in our service comes from Christ. And this morning, we're going to talk about the love of first responders, but we're also going to talk about how that we as Christians love, how that we are to exhibit that same type of love. We may not love in all of the exact same manners as those who serve in such capacities as first responders, but we're still called to love. We're still called to love our community. We're still called to love the lost. We're still called to love our neighbors, as Christ said. And here the Lord explains to us what it really means to love. The book of St. John, chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. If you find your place in the reading of the Word of God, I'd ask that you stand with me. If you don't have a copy of the Word, it'll be on the screen for you. So as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God, St. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. Here's what Christ said. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not knowing what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to be in your house, to fellowship here one with another. And Lord, I thank you for the beautiful sunshine outside. Lord, I thank you for all of the faces that I see here this morning, Lord, as we come just to fellowship and to worship you. Lord, we say a special prayer this morning for those who serve as first responders in their community, especially those in the law enforcement capacity. Lord, we remember them as they go to work to protect and to serve the communities that they have taken an oath to protect and serve. Lord, I pray, Father, that you keep us all safe as we do our jobs. Lord, that you keep our families in your constant hands, Lord, that you be with our spouses, that you be with our children, Lord, and that you just help them with the difficulties that are sometimes seen in the homes of first responders. So Lord, Father, I just pray today that you teach us about how we love. Lord, how that you loved and how that you set forth an example for us to live by. Lord, I pray that today you use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray that you just bless us here today. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak unto our hearts about how we should love. Lord, we place it all in your hands, and it's in your name we ask. Amen. You know, this week I always tell funny stories about my family. This week, Hannah graduating from high school, getting ready for college. One of the great things about my job and why I went to work at Transylvania University was is there was a scholarship opportunity for Hannah and Hunter to go to school through a tuition exchange program for free. And when we figured out what Hannah's tuition was going to cost, that really prompted me to get that job. I'm not going to lie. So this week, in passing, really more of a joke, I said, "You know, Hannah, if something were to happen to me in the next 4 years, they probably would not pay out your scholarship as a death benefit, so you might want to consider getting a life insurance policy on me." And she thought for a minute, never said a word. And the first word she said was, "Mom, where can I get a life insurance policy?" Kids these days, I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, priorities all mixed up. the love of a first responder. You know, Christ teaches us several things about how that we ought to love. And the first thing that I feel like is important for us to understand about how we love, not just in serving the communities as first responders, but in serving with a loving heart as Christ commands us, is this. We have to have a willingness to commit to the task of loving. He says, "This is my commandment." It wasn't just a suggestion. It wasn't just something that He recommended that we do. Here, Christ is so serious about the commitment for us to love others. He says, "I don't recommend you to do it. I don't encourage you to do it." He says, "I command you that you love one another as I have loved you." The example that Christ sets forward about His love is uncomparable to anything else. There's nothing really in this world that we can compare the love of Christ to. I mean, Christ loved the world so much that He gave Himself to die that you and I might go free. Here in a minute we'll see how that the Scripture tells us that He was humbled unto the death even of the cross. He loved the world so much, meaning you, meaning me, meaning everybody, that He gave of Himself. That is the love of Christ. And He says, "It's my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you." And Christ was committed to the task of loving us. Loving us to the point that He would die for us. Prior to Christ's crucifixion, when He went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray about His pending death, He prayed that if there was any other way, let it be. And He had this solid understanding when He prayed that prayer three times. He knew that His death was going to be required for all of mankind. And He was committed to loving the world that much, that He would not pass by that opportunity to be the Savior of the world. Loving people is not always easy. Amen? Say a resounding amen. Love is not always easy. Amen? There are some people in this world that are hard to love. There are some people in this world that just downright make you mad, isn't there? There's some people, they just can look at you a certain way and you just want to knock them out. Or am I the only one that feels that way? That's probably saying that I could use maybe a little therapy. I don't know. But sometimes there's people, they just look at me a certain way and man, it just runs all over me. And they don't even have to open their mouth. They don't even have to say anything. It's hard to love people sometimes. As a pastor, it's been difficult to love people sometimes. As the old saying goes, there's no hurt like church hurt. In working in law enforcement, there are people that are hard to love. Sometimes even the victims of crimes can be hard to love. It's hard to relate to them because they're just hard to love. But in serving the community, whether it be as a first responder or whether it just be as a servant of Christ, we've got to make the decision that we are going to commit to the task of loving others. Because I'm going to tell you this, if you don't commit to the task of loving others and loving the people that you serve, you'll never make it through. You'll get burnout. You know, in law enforcement, they have one of the highest rates of burnout of any career on the face of the earth. You know what's right up there with it? Clergymen. One of the highest rates of burnout in the world. And do you all ever wonder why it is that I may act a little burnout every now and again? Well, there's no wonder. I work in two of the highest rated burnout fields in the world. But I've been remembering a quote in the last few months especially that is helping me in my professional career. And I would tell that to those of you who have worked in law enforcement and still do, to remember this quote. When you want to quit, remember why you started. When you want to quit, remember why you started. You know, I sincerely didn't start for the uniform. I really didn't. I didn't start for the badge. I didn't start for the gun. I started because I sincerely had a desire to serve my community. In serving Christ, we have to remember that quote, "When you want to quit, remember why you started." Why did we start in loving Christ? We started in loving Christ because He first loved us. Christ loved us when we didn't know how to love. Christ loved us when we were unworthy of His love. That's how great that His love really is. We have to commit to it. You know, it's simple to say it, but it's not always easy to do. Loving, simple to say, but not always easy to do. Right? It's difficult. It's hard. In 1 John chapter 13, verse 1, Christ said it this way. John, speaking of Christ, said it this way. He says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world into the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end." Probably my favorite verse out of John. Probably one of my favorite verses out of the whole New Testament. Why? Because what Christ is saying here, as His death was drawing to a close, as He had this last meal together, Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should die, and it said, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. He loved Peter, whom that He knew would deny Him three times. He loved Judas, whom that He knew had already in his heart decided to betray Jesus unto death. He loved them to the end. All of His disciples who would not be present at His death, save one who was John, He loved them to the end. Thomas, whom that He knew would doubt Him after His resurrection and have to be proven of the death and the resurrection of Christ by the nail prints in His hands, Jesus loved him to the end. Christ was committed to loving. It's not easy to love. It's not easy to love all of these different personalities and all of these different types of people in the world today. It's hard. And it's even harder as a Christian to love. It requires us to be steadfast. It requires us to be vigilant. In John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, this is what Jesus told His disciples about loving the world. He says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours. But all of these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me." Christ loved the whole world. He loves even those in the world who in his day wanted to see him die, wanted him to be crucified because he says, "I am the Son of God." He loved them to the end. And Christ commands us that we love one another. Who is one another? It is the world. And Christ says that we have to make a choice and a commitment to love a world that will hate us because we call ourselves followers of Christ. In serving as a law enforcement officer, I know what it's like for people to dislike and to hate me because of the job that I have done. I know that when I go in certain places in my community, my wife knows, she'll ask, you know, "What's that person's problem? Why do they look at you with such a terrible look?" You know, those are the lives that we live sometimes. That's the reality of what it's like to live in a community where you have enforced the law. People don't like it because you're not like the world. But we have to commit to love those people just as much as I love you. Sitting here today, it's far easier to love you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, than it is to love a world that hates me and hates Christ. But Christ says, be committed to loving. Be committed to loving. Not only must we have a commitment to the task of loving, but if we're truly going to love like Christ commands us to love, we have to have a willingness to become a willing servant. We have to have a willingness to become a willing servant. He says in verse 14 of John chapter 15, he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." You are my friends if you do what I command you. And His commandment was, is to love one another as I have loved you. Love the world as I have loved the world. And that requires us to be a servant. That means that we have to be willing to serve our communities. That means we have to be willing to serve our church. That means that we have to be willing to serve our families. That means that we have to be willing to serve others above serving ourselves. You know, I've seen this meme on Facebook, and I have mentioned this once before, but there was a meme earlier in the year that says, you know, what if you spent just a little more time loving yourself this year? Church, we don't have a problem with loving ourselves. The world does a great job of loving itself. There's nobody in here that's not had enough to eat. You know, there's nobody in here that it doesn't look like they've spent enough money on their clothing attire, you know, making sure that they look good and present that image and that presentation that they want. Everybody in here seems to be doing a wonderful job of loving themselves. What if we spent a little more time loving others? The commitment to loving others means that we have to make the choice to be a willing servant. You see, Christ came to this world to die for the world, to be the Savior of the world. But more than just was He not commanded to come to the world to do that, He came to do the will of the Father. Time and time again, Christ references in His life and in His ministry, I come to do the will of the Father. I come to do the will of the One who has sent me. He came with a task and a goal of what God had sent Him to do, and He was a willing servant in loving the world. Church, it's not enough that we serve because that's our obligation to serve. That's the problem in some churches today, is we serve because we feel obligated to serve. You'll never make it in a career in law enforcement or public service as a first responder if you serve simply because you feel obligated to serve. The choice to serve your communities has to be a choice of a willing servant, one who makes the decision to serve their local jurisdictions, their local communities, wherever it may be. That's the decision that you have to make for yourself because you're called to do it. You'll never make it if you're not committed to the cause of being a willing servant. Why do so many Christians get burnt out? I believe a lot of Christians get burnt out in their service because they do it because they feel obligated. If I don't do it, who will? You know, if I don't do it, nobody will do it. And I want to tell you, if you're serving just because nobody else would do it and you feel obligated to do it, you need to look at your heart, you need to look at your service and ask, is this really the right attitude to have? Am I really serving because God has put it in my heart to be a willing servant? He's called us all to be willing servants, but are you serving out of the course of obligation? If you are, maybe you need to change the attitude of your heart. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, he puts it into context about how that we ought to serve others. He says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit. He says, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Man, that's a task. He says, count others more significant than yourself. If you're a mom, it's easy to do that for your children. If you're a dad, it's easy to do that for your children. But outside of those types of relationships, how often do we really put the lives of others to be more significant than our own? In serving as a first responder, we have to be committed to that cause of making others more significant than ourselves. In serving the cause of Christ, we have to make others' lives more significant than ourselves. He says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humiliation count others more significant than yourselves. He says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. He says, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He says, but made himself nothing. Christ, the Son of God, made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. Willingly taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He says, and being found in this human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Christ Jesus, the perfect form of God. Christ Jesus, the very image of God. Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Christ Jesus, who was perfect, came to this earth, placing the needs of others before himself, came in the form of man, and being found in the form of man, it says that he was committed and willing and found himself obedient to death, even the death of a cross. In the day when Jesus Christ died, the death of the cross was the death of a criminal. The death of a cross was the most humiliating death that one could face, especially for a Jew. And Christ faced the death of a criminal and one of humiliation because he put the needs of others before the needs of himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant. If we're going to love and we're going to be successful in loving our communities, whether it be as a Christian, a follower of Christ, whether we talk about serving our communities as a first responder, we have to be a willing servant. It's not just about being committed to the task of loving. It's not just about being a willing servant. But if we're going to be successful in loving, we truly have to have a willingness to love without bias. Does everybody know what that means? To love without a bias. Jesus says, I call all of you my friends. He says, I love you to the end. Those men that would betray him unto death, Jesus still died for Judas, still gave his life willingly. He still died for men like Peter, who denied him three times publicly. He still died for Thomas, who doubted him. He still died for the remainder who would scatter abroad after his crucifixion because he loved them without bias. Regardless of the walk of life, regardless of the things that they did, he loved them. Probably one of the most hard and difficult tasks that we will ever encounter in trying to love others is to love them without a bias. Loving somebody because they are simply who they are. That's hard sometimes. It's simply difficult to love people in the form of the person that they are. And I've even heard people say, I could probably love them better if they were a little different. My wife says it all the time. Just kidding. Not to me anyways. Probably to her friends when I don't hear about it. But that's okay. As long as I don't hear it, it's like it never happened, right? That's right. Exactly. Learning to love people without a bias. Christ loved us without bias. He says, no longer do I call you servants. He says, for servants do not know what it is that the master is doing. He says, but I've called you friends. He says, I call you friends, for all that I've heard of my Father I've made known to you. He says, no more are you a servant. He says, I call you my friend. Church, this is before Christ ever died for them. This is before they're atoned. This is before they've made this great change. And Jesus is telling them, he says, I love you without a bias, and I call you my friends. I call you not my servant, but I call you my equal. How hard is it sometimes to love people as if they are our equal? Might be a little easier to love them if we feel that we have some level of authority over them. But what does it mean to really love somebody like our equal? Jesus says, I love you not in a master-servant relationship. He says, I love you like I love a friend, to serve without bias. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, John, writing in his Episcopal, says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know Him." Jesus says, "I call you my friends." John says, "We are the children of God because of Christ and His love and what He has done for us, because He loves us without a bias. I can be the child of God because He loves me without bias." I want you to know that regardless of who you are, regardless of your walk of life, regardless of your socioeconomic status, the color of your skin, how terrible of a sinner that you have been, the Lord loves you without bias. And He died for all of us equally, that we might be called His friends, that we might be called the children of God. Christ loved us before we even knew how to love. Christ says, "You are my friends," long before they really knew what Christ's love even meant. That's powerful. Paul in Romans chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8, he says this. He says, "For while we were still weak," talking about our sin, he says, "while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." He says, "For one will secretly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die." He says, "But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, He died for us." Paul said one might choose to die for a righteous person. He said one might choose to die for a good person. But here it says that Jesus Christ chose to die for those who were ungodly sinners. Jesus didn't say, "You've got to change your life in order for me to love you." Jesus didn't say, "You've got to turn everything in your heart around in order for me to love you." Just as you are right now, just as you sit right now, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you just as you are. Christ tells us that we are to love unbiased, just as He loves in an unbiased fashion. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Here in John's Episcopal, or chapter 3:16, he says, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." He says, "This is how we know what love is." I've heard people tell me before, "I don't know how to love. I don't know how to love people that I just can't love. I don't know how to love people that I don't like. I don't know how to love people that don't come from the right walk of life." Jesus tells us how. He says, "You know love by this measure, that I was willing to give my life for you." John says, "You know love by this measure, that Jesus gave His life for us, laid it down willingly and was committed to it in an unbiased fashion." And he says, our level of love and our level of commitment ought to be that we lay down our lives for our brothers. I am proud to work in a job in the agencies that I have worked for. I am proud to say that I have worked in agencies where that I know that the men and the women that I have worked with would willingly lay down their life for me. And I am committed to the cause when I go to work that I would lay down my life for the men and the women that I call my brothers and my sisters. But it goes deeper than that. When I go to work, I make a choice and a commitment that I would lay down my lives for the people that I call my community and the people that I serve. I'm not a first responder. How does this apply to me? You're not a first responder. I want to tell you how this applies to you, because you're given the same commandment. John wasn't talking to the police. He wasn't talking to first responders. He wasn't talking to firemen. John was talking to the church and to the Christians. He said, the Lord loved us so much He gave His life for us. You should love your brother so much that you would give your life for them. Church, that should be the level of our love, is that we would lay down our lives for each other. And I tell you this, my commitment to you all is that I would gladly lay down my life for you. And if you're not there yet, I hope that in your Christian walk you can reach a level of love in your life that you're willing to lay down your life for your brothers and for your sisters. Willing to lay down your lives for others. This morning, as our praise team comes, as we close out this time of preaching, it's been a message that I hope my brothers in the law enforcement community take to heart, that we be committed to loving our communities that we serve, that we be committed to loving each other, that we be committed to being willing servants, that we don't serve out of obligation for a paycheck because it's a good job and has good benefits, and that we love our communities with an unbiased love. We don't just love the good people in our communities, we love the people that are the bad people in our communities. That's hard sometimes. But as Christians also, I hope you take this example, that you be committed to loving like Jesus loved. Love your brothers and sisters, love those that are lost, love the world. Be committed to serving Christ willingly, not out of obligation, and be committed to loving unbiased, as Christ loved us while we were still yet sinners. Lord, as we close out this service, as we come to a time of response and invitation, Lord, that I pray that we have learned something about loving, how we love, how that You loved, how that You gave us the greatest example of love. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here today who's never known Your love, never experienced it, that today, before it's everlasting too late, I pray that today they'd come and invite You into their heart and their life, and that they would be saved. Lord, Father, I pray that You teach us how to love as a church, how that we take the example of servanthood and apply it to our lives, that we apply it in this community. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters who have taken an oath to serve their communities. Lord, I pray for their safety every day as they go to work, as they return home. Lord, I pray for their families, their wives and their children, the families that will come one day. Lord, that You just bless them. It's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen. As we stand,
amazing grace, how sweet.